While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
And of course, and of course, not with Happy Juju, but with Matias Angala here. A very good afternoon to yourself and you and yourself. And wherever you're finding yourself at, this is Eagle FM broadcasting to you from Namibian Capital Windhoek via our website, which is www.eaglefm.com.na, or via our app, which is both available on Android as well as on iOS. Simply search for Eagle FM Namibia, install or either download the app, then you have an opportunity to listen to us wherever you are in the world. Thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you very much to Abigail and Alisa for having brought us Sizuma, right? Sizuma Salisho. Right, thank you very much. And as Namibia hosts the technical workshop on, to align the national technical and vocational education policy with the continental strategy, we take time to zoom into that, those discussions emanating from that workshop, which has been underway from the 1st, of September and ending tomorrow, which is the 3rd of September. That is in Windhoek. And, the aim is actually to bring together, different stakeholders in this very, very important, developmental issue, which is education in terms of technical and vocational education. So now you have to understand that the current policy has been, in force since 2021, and it's ending this year, 2026. So now, it's for that reason that, there was a need to align the current policy with the continental policy on TVET. So now, the workshop is hosted by the Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Art and Culture in collaboration with the African Union Commission under the theme Advancing Inclusive, Industry Aligned and Future Ready TVET Systems in Namibia. So now, there has been various speakers from various offices, government officials, TVET institutions, regulators, developmental partners, industry representatives, and other stakeholders also to assess Namibia's TVET landscape and identify opportunities to strengthen the country's skills, which are needed in the country, to ensure that the country is developed. So now, having also in mind that a lot of developed countries have developed because they actually did well when it comes to training their own people on vocational education. So now, various speakers actually came on board to discuss this very issue. And one such speaker is the Deputy Executive Director in the same ministry, Risho Mundia, who emphasized the importance of building a response and future-ready TVET system that address the relevance and quality of qualifications quality of qualifications and training while strengthening meaningful industry participation. So now when we speak about quality of qualifications, we are speaking about very quite competitive qualifications, meaning the qualifications we are getting in Namibia are internationally competitive, because we have to understand that within some years ago, our people would do some trades in Namibia and they will continue, they will have to go somewhere and continue other trades so that they can become industry ready. So now this is why I wanted you to underline quality of qualifications. So now this is for this reason that Mundia cautioned that also cautioned that aligning Namibia's STEVET systems with the continental strategy should not be interpreted as simply adopting a continental framework without considering the country's national context, priorities, and as well as developmental needs. You know that each country has its own developmental landscape. So it's for this reason that it fit to approach it from that level, to say, okay, Namibia also has its own, challenges and shortcomings as well as, strengths. So continental alignment, according to him, does not mean that Namibia should simply adopt a continental framework without due consideration of our national context, priorities, and developmental needs. Instead, he said that the process provides Namibia with opportunities which are critically to examine its national activity landscape, determine where the country currently stands, which is kind of progress report, progress report, and also to establish where it wants to go, which is the roadmap. Okay, so those two issues are key in before considering aligning Namibia's strategy with the continental strategy. So now also added that the process is expected to identify existing strengths, policy gaps. There might be policy gaps which need to be addressed, institutional challenges and strategic priorities, while highlighting opportunities to strengthen Namibia's TVET system. So it's for this reason that Mundia called for, a honest deliberation, a constructive dialogue during this important discussion. So, one more issue which is emanating from this discussion is that It is said that we have to see it fit to build a TVET system, actually a TVET system which is provide relevant and competent innovation, as well as adaptable graduates who contribute immensely positively, energetically to Namibia's economic development. Talking about, in the construction industry, in the research industry, while also taking advantage of opportunities emerging from greater African economic integration and labor mobility. And as I'm talking about this, I'm at some point thinking about what China did. At some point China actually had a one-child policy, And, you know, China is one of the countries which is really doing well when it comes to vocational education, to the point that they start very early training their children on how to engage in vocational education. So now, after some time, they realized that having a one-child policy is actually robbing them of opportunities. Opportunities such as producing a variety of labor skills which are needed globally. So now it's for this reason that they came up with a policy to say that we can stop this one-child policy and actually produce for the world, train our people, produce skills which are needed in the world. So it's for this reason that we saw that they have been for years they have been training their people on various skills. In terms of vocational education, for people to have various vocational skills. And it's for this reason that you will find, if you go to a construction site where Chinese are building, you will find somebody who is electrical engineer, for example, who is a plumber, who is also a boiler maker, who is capable of operating several machines. So, and this is why this discussion is centered around, you know, producing graduates who can contribute meaningfully. That our system have also to provide graduates who can contribute meaningfully, immensely, energetically to the economic development of our country, to say that also looking at, you know, bearing in mind opportunities which are coming or which are emerging from the greater African economic integration and labor mobility, to say that, okay, if those skills we can't fill here locally, we can fill, you know, elsewhere. And it's for that reason that those qualifications which they are getting we have to ensure that they are competitive. All right? So it's for that reason that he also challenged participants to use the workshop, to use that discussion to critically assess Namibia's current TVET policy, which is coming to an end this year. Okay? It's coming to an end this year. So now, in terms of the fact that you see, because you have now this policy which is coming to an end, now one have to look at, you know, what have we achieved with this current policy which is expiring? Or was it just a beautiful document which was designed, which actually took time to be designed and put there to gather dust, and then all of a sudden the policy is coming to an end and the new policy have to be drafted again? What have we achieved you know, as a country, what have we achieved as a country? So, it's for that reason that he also said that this requires a review to determine what has worked, what gaps remain, and what changes are needed to respond to the evolving labor market. So now, the labor market is evolving because of the current concept of artificial intelligence. And this concept is a new concept, it's a new global concept, which is brought upon us and which we know it will become a challenge in the near future. It will become a challenge if we are not ready, if we are not preparing ourselves already to shift our focus, and if we are not preparing, if we are not doing anything to prepare ourselves, actually, probably we might be caught off guard. And it's for this reason that, he said that as a country, we have to respond to the evolving labor market. So, while highlighting the persistent gaps between skills produced by the educational institutions and training systems and those demanded by the labor market. Okay? So, it has been widely discussed quite recently that there are disparities between what the market demands and what is produced by the educational institutions. And you saw that this shift have been forthcoming. You see that it's a trade which is needed. It's a tertiary qualification which is needed. It's a driver's license which is needed. It's some experience, years of experience, depending on the criticality of that field and how critical it is. For example, if you are to venture into electrical engineering, for example, you have to be very well trained in terms of occupational health and safety, because your safety is first. Quite recently, we had some people who actually lost their lives due to electrocution, and it's really a matter of concern to say we have been for years having this incident. What could have what are the causes of these issues, and how do we address them? So now it basically means that those joining those fields have to be well trained, you know, as far as safety at work is concerned. You see? So, that basically speaks to the training they have received. Is it up to date? And the need for refreshers, you know? Refreshers every time, every now and then, refreshers. Refreshing workshops for them to know the safety standards. They keep updating. They keep changing every now and then. So safety standards. So refreshing workshops need to be instituted so that those within those fields will know what to do, when to do it, and so forth and so forth. So now, this is why it speaks to the skills which are being produced as per the demands which are demanded by the labor market. So now, quite often there's a huge gap between Namibia's graduating, Namibia, what Namibia is graduating and what the labor market is asking. So it is for this reason that he urged participants to use that workshop, to use that platform, actually to identify practical solutions to this challenge and determine what is the way forward. Also opposed to what the revised policy should prioritize. Okay, now, looking at the African Union perspective, now, representing that institution's education and skills from the African Commission perspective is Chingozi Emmanuel Onkongwo, who is the education and skills advisor, said that the workshop should be approached as a participatory and forward-looking process rather than an exercise simply to comply with continental requirements. You see? So, and he went further to explain that the African Union has developed contemporary strategies covering a broader educational ecosystem, specifically referring to TVET. So now, this includes the Continental Educational Strategy for Africa, CESA, and the African Continental TVET Strategy, which together seek to connect the foundational education, higher education, technical and vocational skills development, second chance education, as well as lifelong learning. You see, for some years we have been having vocational education in Namibia. And like I said earlier, that we had a limit, and I'm sure it's because of the expertise which have been lacking, and that required our people to continue some of their trades elsewhere. So now, the ministry actually saw it fit to have, you know, these other trades which were lacking in Namibia integrated into a vocational education. This is why they need to now upgrade vocational education to technical. You see? To technical and vocational education. So then you will have, you know, all the levels required in the country, and then hence there won't be a need any longer for our students to travel elsewhere after completing or after finishing all the trades, all the levels which are being offered in Namibia. So according to Okongwo, education should be regarded not only as a basic human right, but also as a strategic national investment that strengthens human capability. Meaning that if Namibia, for example, lacks certain skills, certain human skills, it basically means that it will continue seeking those skills elsewhere. And that will become very expensive for the economy, because forking out skills elsewhere basically means that you have to pay those individuals more, because now you need your people to be trained in certain skills which are lacking in the country, but you don't have the expertise, so you seek the expertise elsewhere. But then you have to fork out more from your coffers to pay those individuals, because they are leaving their countries, they are leaving their families, and you have to pay them more. So not only that, but also economic productivity, social cohesion, and resilience. That is according to him. So he noted that as information and routine answers become increasingly accessible through technology, deeply human capabilities such as judgment, curiosity, trust, and sense of belonging becomes increasingly important. Okay? So, while also noting that if we place AI inside a fragmented or examination-driven system, we may simply create a faster version of that system. And so that is, the discussion there from the African Union perspective, also, which is also encouraging policymakers to distinguish between accelerating, scaling up or scaling down, and transforming educational systems, while accelerating involvement during existing, things which are still existing, faster, and also scaling up what needs to be widely transformed. Okay? So now you have to understand that this African Union have adopted the Agenda 2063, which is under the theme Africa's Renaissance. And myself being having been part of the African Union Model Summit discussions, I'm sure that education is at the center. Okay, so this Agenda 2063 actually was adopted in 2013, and it's actually an African Union 50-year master plan and strategic framework to transform Africa into a global powerhouse. That is now from 2013 to 2063. So now the framework is built on 7 core aspirations. 1, prosperity, which is inclusive growth, sustainable development, and high standard of living. having in mind that a lot of people in Africa are said to be living on about $6 per day, even though Africa being the richest continent in the world. So now, another key aspiration is integration, meaning a politically united continent based on the Pan-African ideals, as the foundation was laid by the forefathers, the Kwame Nkrumahs, the Muammar Gaddafis. So also looking at governance, which is good governance, democracy, respect of women's rights, and the rule of law, which is viewed in the sense that should that lack, that basically means that those in the governing authorities may only be looking at enriching themselves as well as their immediate families, forgetting the masses. So now, peace and security, that is a peaceful, stable and secure continent, with a strong cultural identity, heritage, values and ethics, also people driven, which is empowering women as well as youth, and co-drivers of the development, and also a strong, united and influential global partner. So now, as part of that strategy, is economic transformation, which is looking at eradicating poverty, boosting intra-Africa trade, and developing modern agriculture and the blue economy. So now, Namibia is, when it comes to boosting intra-Africa trade, is seen as a strategy, it's a strategic point of entry. Have bearing in mind the countries which are landlocked countries which are using, Namibia's port of entry or Namibia's port of entries, such as the Walvis Bay Harbor, the Lüderitz Harbor. You know, we have our neighbors Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, DRC, landlocked countries which are using our port of entry as a strategic point of goods, which are for them to either go to the international market or come to their country. So now, it is Namibia is seen as a strategic partner when it comes to boosting intra-Africa trade. Okay, so not only that, but also in terms of infrastructures, us being number one when it comes to road infrastructures. So now that is seen, we are seen as having this opportunity to benefit, because of this benefit, because the trucks, the amount of trucks which are using our road infrastructures, Namibia is seen to benefit from that economically, and you see, that's why this is important. All right, so now, in terms of addressing TVET system challenges, Okongo said the continental strategy should seek to connect skills development with broader economic transformation, and also ensure that the strategies align with the continental priorities, including the Agenda 2063, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, the Youth Development Strategy for Africa, and the Science, Technology and Innovation Strategy for Africa. So I emphasize that the continental standards should provide a shared direction while allowing individual countries to design programs, partnerships, and pathways. And pathways that reflect their own economies, communities, and aspirations. Well, for Namibia, this means that adopting the continental framework to the national context rather than copying and implementing it unchanged. You see, you know, so speaking there against copying and pasting the idea as it is. So now he highlighted several persistent structural challenges which we identified through the 2024 evaluation and that informed the development of a new continental Tibet strategy, which includes skill mismatch, like we discussed earlier, and the weak labor market reverence, the fragmented governance and limited institutional capacity. Institutions are not capacitated, like I said earlier. So inadequate financing, because for years African education has been relying too much on theoretical education. So now shifting from that type of education to more practical education actually requires understanding and trust that this is this can be used as a key strategic area to ensure that Africa developed, you know, in terms of having skilled labor to address skills mismatch. So now there is observed inadequate financing, and as well as now a weak quality assurance mechanisms, you know, the measurement of those qualifications, you know, insufficient involvement of employers and workers, limited skills focusing, uneven access to TVET, gender disparities, low public perception of TVET. Some people feel like TVET education is for those who failed, you know, who didn't do well, and they don't have any other option rather than just to take CVET, TVET, pardon me. And now the shortage of qualified trainers. So those are some of these shortcomings which are identified. And he also pointed to the large informal economy as an important consideration, noting that many workers acquire valuable skills outside formal training institutions, and hence this discussion provides an opportunity for Namibia to identify which of these challenges, you know, represent the most significant constraints within its own TVET system. So now, there was a discussion to say that those unskilled laborers who joined the labor market and acquired certain skills were supposed actually to be implemented in the mainstream education system by ensuring that they have qualifications, because some of them could not be are not able to be given proper jobs or paid accordingly, since they do not have qualifications, but actually they joined the labor force, the labor market, and they accumulated knowledge by doing. So now, how do you turn those into several trades? If there is somebody who is doing bricklaying, never went to school, he learned it by doing it. Is somebody who entered in grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, grade 6, grade 7, grade 8, grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, 12, and so forth. How do you turn that into a qualified artisan, for example? So this is why it's encouraged that this workshop discuss the solution to that. So now in terms of job creation, participants actually identified limited employment opportunities as one of the critical challenges facing TVET graduates. And I believe this is so because everybody wants to be employed. People do not see training as something to equip them with skills.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Welcome back. It's because a lot of people don't see training, this type of training, as an opportunity for them to establish businesses according to the skills which they have. And this is why you will see that a lot of people who are graduates, TVET graduates, some of them are struggling to find employment. It's because they don't see it as an opportunity for them to become entrepreneurs. And according to me, you cannot be somebody who with that wealth of knowledge and be unemployed. So one participant argued that producing skilled graduates alone would not resolve unemployment if the economy does not generate sufficient opportunities to absorb them. So now, according to me, if the economy does not generate sufficient opportunities, we ourselves need to generate those opportunities. And if we start thinking in that direction, then there will be a paradigm shift when it comes to employment creation. So this actually highlighted the need for the review of the TVET policy to consider not only skills production but also job creation, entrepreneurship, and stronger linkages between training and economic development. Stronger linkages. You see, another participant identified the development of trainers as a major priority. The participant argued that well-qualified and experienced trainers are essential to producing graduates with the skills required by the industry. Stronger investment in trainer development, together with continuous curriculum review, was also identified as necessary to ensure that training remains relevant to the rapidly changing industry requirements. Right? If you are just joining us, thank you very much for joining through. But should you like to participate in the program, feel free to do so. Our telephone number in the studio is 083-288-401. It's our studio telephone number. You can participate. What are your views regarding this? But in the absence of that, we are continuing with the discussion, which is that another participant identified the importance of developing an agile curriculum that can respond to technical and industrial changes. You see now the adaptation of artificial intelligence as a country. So now this is for this reason that now the trainers who are being trained have to be people who are, you know, sensitized when it comes to artificial intelligence. What about it now? So now it is for this reason also that the new curriculum that remained unchanged for several years, the participant quotient risk producing graduates with skills that are no longer aligned with the workplace. You see? So, and when it comes to the progress under Namibia's TVET reform agenda, the workshop also reviewed Namibia's progress inside, you know, since independence in terms of strengthening technical and vocational education training and it actually found out that TVET has remained a national priority since independence, since 1990, and has featured in successive national development plans and other national policy frameworks. So Namibia actually implemented a TVET policy previously in 2005, before introducing the current one in 2021, which has been actually running up until this year. And the other important policy and legislative development includes actually the establishment of the Namibia Training Authority, which is seen instrumental in the industrialization policy, the growth at home strategy, the Hanamei Prosperity Plan, the Basic Education Act, and the recently developed Work Integrated Learning Policy 2025 to 2030. So this Work Integrated Learning Policy, actually, if you are not well acquainted with it, it's actually a policy which allows people to learn by doing. Actually, institutions can bring those in, kind of train them, and they can also be remunerated through the Namibia Training Authority. It's actually something like apprenticeship, okay? So to ensure that, you know, skills are developed by doing. Okay? So the reform agenda has actually sought to widen access, improve quality and relevance, strengthen financing, and increase industry participation. So, yeah, so that is what it is. So when it comes to the competency-based education and training approach, has been introduced as part of efforts to improve quality, not only quality, but at the same time also interventions have been implemented to strengthen trainer competencies, and industry participation have been incorporated into the development of qualifications, with employers contributing to the design and as well as the finalization of training and assessment instruments. Okay? So, apprenticeship has also emerged as a key priority, with Namibia seeking to expand opportunities for learners to gain workplace experience And at the same time, efforts are being made to recognize the importance of informal economy through initiatives such as informal apprenticeship and recognition of prior learning. All right? So, you know, the aim is one, to ensure that Namibia grow economically and that there is a framework guiding that, that there is a framework guiding that. So when it comes to expanding access and pathways, so now, because the question will still remain, are these services now accessible to somebody who is in Okangwati, for example, who is in Uis, who is there in the, at the peripheries of the Orange River, in Karasberg, in Arjansvrei, you know. First of all, knowledge is power, you know. All you need to do is to have information at the right time, you know, and then you act upon that information. So Namibia has also made progress in expanding the geographical footprints of TVET, and the country has strengthened its presence across all 14 regions through public vocational training centers and other training facilities. Now, so now this is not only in the public sector, but also in the private sector. You see a lot of private facilities, private vocational facilities are coming up. And a lot of people are actually having the opportunities to join those. So now, however, the workshop questioned whether physical expansion alone is sufficient to guarantee equitable access. You know, you have people who don't have an idea what TVET is, because if you go to Maheke region there, in the Tungo area, for example, how do we sensitize those communities, you know, on the importance of TVET, you know, let alone education? So now, participants actually encouraged to consider whether TVET institutions are located close enough to communities that need them, particularly people living in the rural areas and underserved areas. And also that progress is seemed to have been made in creating alternative pathways into TVET. These include pathways for pre-vocational education, programs supporting persons with special educational needs, community-based in training initiatives, and other alternative entry routes. So, but these have to be tested. Whether it's widely, is, you know, it's whether it is, you know, it's spread across all the 14 regions and in rural communities. So despite this progress, participants acknowledge that further work is needs to be done, that there's still room for improvement, and in order to make the system genuinely inclusive and accessible. So now, when it comes to revising now the TVET policy, the workshop has four key objectives to assess Namibia's current TVET system. That is now to conduct a need analysis and baseline mapping, facilitate stakeholder engagement, and initiate a domesticated roadmap while establishing mechanisms to follow up on the progress. That is now the progress report which I told you earlier about. And according to me, this is important because if there is no demand on the progress, you know, to assess the progress, there won't be, you know, we won't know how, where are we standing regarding this, and there won't be actually, there won't be a need, there won't be, we won't be able to identify the shortcomings, what needs to be done, what needs to be polished, and so forth and so forth. So now, the workshop actually also saw it fit to facilitate stakeholder engagement, you know, and initiate a domesticated roadmap while establishing mechanism follow-ups and the ongoing assessment on the implementation of the 2021 Tibet policy is seen to contribute to this process. Now, the findings will help determine whether the policy should be revised, extended, or otherwise strengthened to respond to emerging national priorities and the labor market needs. And the alignment exercise there is present more than a review of policy documents, and that it provides an opportunity for Namibia to examine the effectiveness of this of its existing Tibet system, learn from continental experiences, and establish a clear direction for the future. All right, so the discussions are ongoing, like I said, and stakeholders are actually expected to identify practical interventions that can strengthen the relevance, quality, inclusiveness, and responsiveness to Namibia's Tibet system. Ultimately, the objective is to build a system that equips Namibia with relevant and adaptable skills, which will strengthen the link between education and industry, expand opportunity for employment and entrepreneurship, and position the country to benefit from Africa's growing economic integration and labor mobility. Right? So that, I know, as regard to that discussion, I trust that this will not be, it will not just be a discussion, but it will translate from policy to action. And this is, you know, it will require, you know, all of us to fast track the progress and as well as the implementation. So on that note, from myself, Matthias Sangala, until tomorrow, bye-bye for now.